We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Experiencing Freedom and Victory, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, encouraging you that through the power of the gospel, you can live free and victorious. He'll show you how you can do that today. Now, here's today's program.
Jesus Christ condemned sin. He put sin to death. It's why Christians shouldn't worry about, I sinned again, I'm shameful, I sinned again, I'm shameful. It's already paid for. The bill's been paid. You're free from the law of sin and death. You're free. You're free. Now notice what he did. He made a public spectacle of all the forces of darkness. Sometimes one of the reasons we don't live free is here's what we think. Yeah, Jesus paid for my sin, but Jesus is really, really powerful. The devil's really, really powerful, and there's this constant fight all the time. Wrong. The devil is a created being. The devil is a beautiful created being. He's considered an angel of light. It's why he's attractive. It's why you follow him sometimes. It's why you listen to his lies. It's why you sin. Nobody sins because, oh, I hate sinning, but I'm going to try it anyway. Everybody that sins does it willingly. I want to give this a try. It seems good. Let's give this thing a whirl. Why? Because he's an angel of light. But he's a created being. I mean, even his existence is dependent upon God. And we get this view sometimes as Christians that there's Jesus, then there's the devil right beneath him, and then there's us way down here when there's nothing we can do. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John 3:8. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Remember all the way back in Genesis? God said he put enmity between the woman and the seed of the devil. And one day Jesus would crush his head and Satan would bruise his heel. Here's what Jesus did on the cross. He stomped on him. I mean, the devil has no power over you. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you live that way, things will change. When I was in second grade, I used to hang out with all the kids in my neighborhood. They were all older than me. They were like sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. I played all sports with them, and I got crushed all the time. My mom wouldn't let me go to the store to get baseball cards because you had to cross a busy street. So I'd give them my money. Sure enough, they'd come back, and my package would be open, and my gum was eaten, and I'd have every scrub player in the world. Hey, this is what you got. I mean, they were mean to me all the time. And there's one kid in particular that was mean to me. His name was JJ. And he was the kind of kid that would come into the neighborhood, and if I saw him coming, I would run into my house and look out the picture window and be like, I ain't going outside. My mom was like, what are you doing? JJ's out there. Because JJ was the kid that would come pin me down, and then he'd like hock a loogie where he'd spit it out of his mouth in my face and suck it up. I hated that kid. I hated that kid. And certainly some kids came to my rescue and it was okay, but I remember I was a junior in high school. I was lifting weights at a friend's house for the football season, and I saw this kid come home, and my friend said to me, remember JJ? I said, yeah. He goes, that's him. He lives across the street. And I looked at this kid. He was in college, and he was like half my size, and he's this little twerp. And I was like, hey, let's go over and talk to him now. Because I've been storing up loogies for a long time. Right? See, here's the deal. When Satan was crushed at the cross, he knows he's beneath the feet of Jesus. He knows that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He just lies to you to get you to believe that he's greater than you. Our freedom comes from knowing that God has set us free. We no longer have to submit to him. He's beneath us, not because of our own personal power, but because of who we are in the realm of Christ Jesus. See, prior to coming to Christ, Satan can do whatever he wants with us. After coming to Christ, we have to give him the ability. We have to choose that we want to follow him. See, here's what it says. Romans 8 says we've been set free from all of that. We've been set free because he condemned sin in the flesh. Notice verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those of us who walk the way God wants us to walk, the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. Well, what's the righteous requirement of the law? We looked in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for in the gospel, the righteous requirement of the law is given to us. Well, what does God require? Here's two things God requires, that we love him with our whole heart, mind, and strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what God requires. Prior to coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't do that. You can't love God without Jesus, and you can't genuinely love other people without a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, there's good moral people that aren't Christian in the sense of how the world would view good moral people. Like, this is a nice gal, this is a nice guy, this is a friendly person. But I'm talking about loving people, because loving people isn't loving those that are like you. Even the pagans do that. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Only Christians can do that. Only Christians can genuinely love people that are hateful to them. Only Christians can genuinely love people who persecute them. How's the righteous requirement of the law fulfilled? In those of us who have Christ, in those of us who no longer live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit of God in us, and we walk it out. So the Bible continues, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why identity is so important, isn't it? Because if I wake up in the morning and my worldview is God's awesome, but the devil's so powerful and I'm under the devil and just got to get through another day, I'm defeated already. If I wake up in the morning and I realize God is awesome and I'm crowned with glory and honor and a little less than God and I'm holy and I'm righteous and I'm forgiven and I'm a co-heir with Christ in all of his riches and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world and the devil's beneath me and he can't do anything but lie to me and I'm going to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and I'm not going to let him get to me anymore, my day changes. I can live free. I was almost going to paint my face like half blue today and yell freedom, you know, when I came out here. Just because that's how I feel about it. Because I want Christians to live free. You don't need to live in bondage. You don't need to think that you're doomed. You don't need to live under condemnation. You don't need to think I'll never get out of this sin anymore. There's no way I could. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the righteous requirement of the law is met in us. You can't fulfill the law, but Jesus did. And by nailing himself to a cross, he fulfilled it. So what do? We submit to the Spirit of God who magnifies Jesus. And by every time we do that, God's love begins to pour through us in our love for him and our love for others. And the righteous requirement of the law is met. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not about earning favor with God. It's not about staying out of God's doghouse when you do bad. It's about knowing presently that you can have the freedom in Christ because of who you are in Christ to live completely free. Because I know what it's like when you don't live completely free and then you come hear the word of God being taught. You begin to think like this, oh no, another set of rules that I broke. Oh no, God's really mad at me this time. Oh no, what did I do wrong? I'll never get this thing right. No, at the cross, at the cross, at the cross, at the cross, it's paid for. When Christ rose, you are free. You are no longer in chains. You are no longer bound. You no longer have to stay the way you are. God's righteousness is in you if you continue to walk in him. And that's what God wants. So how do we do that? What's that look like exactly? That's what he tells us. He tells us next that your personal freedom from sin is determined by this. It's determined by your moral choices. It's determined by your moral choices. Let me read this next section. It says this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So Paul is talking about two different groups of people. He's talking about a group of people that live according to the flesh. Now here Paul's talking about the flesh as our sinful flesh. So here's what goes on. We talked about this a little bit last week, but let's refresh. We have competing things in our life to love God. When we're born, here's what our sinful flesh likes. There's three areas that our sinful flesh likes. One is the devil is always telling our sinful flesh, here's what you need to do. And our sinful flesh is like, I love that. That's awesome. Right? The world system says, here's how you need to live. This is what honors the world. And our sinful flesh is like, that's awesome. And then we got this third thing going on, which is just ourselves, which the sinful flesh loves, which is live for you. So we have the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, and we all work as an unholy trinity so that from the time that we're born, everything's about us and the world that we live in, living completely for ourselves. That's how we all lived. That's how every single one of us lives. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says even for believers, we were all once dead in our trespasses and sins. That's how we all used to live, according to the ways of the world. But when Christ came into our life and gave us his Holy Spirit that we'll see in just a minute, now we no longer have to. Because the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. Well, what's been crucified? My flesh. My flesh is dead. The Spirit's alive. So now when I hear that voice, I no longer have to just do whatever it says. I can listen to the Spirit of God inside of me instead of listening to my flesh saying, yeah, let's go do that, right? Because before I've had no discernment. Now all of a sudden, the Spirit is living inside of me. Here's what happens. As I've said many times, when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he does not come in as resident. He comes in as what? President. He comes in to take it over. And so that's why after you become a Christian, and this is the way you used to live, and you used to lie or cheat or steal or sleep around or get drunk or do all these things or treat people badly or treat people poorly or manipulate or live in your pride, live for yourself, your own goals, who cares about anybody else? That's how you lived and that's normal. Now the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and say, nah, it's not normal anymore. That's not who you are. Now you're a child of God. Those who live according to the flesh, they live hostile to God.
You're listening to Brave, and today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Experiencing Freedom and Victory, from the series, The Power of the Gospel. He's showing you how you can live free and victorious in your Christian walk. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
Those who live according to the flesh, they live hostile to God. Okay? That's why there's no such thing as a non-believer that pleases God. All non-believers live in the flesh and they don't please God. Even the nicest, most philanthropic, well-intended non-believers are hostile to God, is what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is even as a believer with the Spirit inside of you, you have a choice. You can choose to follow God or you can choose to follow the Spirit of God inside of you. This is where the battle begins. Because some of us believe that when we were born again, that God like put us on the love boat for a cruise into eternity. But a truer picture is God put you on a battleship between now and heaven. And there's this fight going on between the Spirit of God inside of you and the world system and the devil and your flesh saying, come on, we don't want to be on this ship. This is too hard, right? And this is what the Bible's telling us. So how we live this out, we make good moral choices. Notice what it says. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh or have their outlook on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds or have an outlook on the things of the Spirit. Okay? Let me tell you something spiritually. It works backwards in how you think. Most people think that if I think the right thoughts, then I'll do the right things. In other words, if I have more education, I'll do the right thing. There's a lot of educated people that are very immoral. Did you know that? Just because you educate people more. I can educate everybody here on how to be better with their finances, but it doesn't mean you'll do it. Who does what's right with their finances? People who make moral choices with their finances. Who does right with their sexuality? People who make moral choices about their sexuality. Who does right with generosity? People that make moral choices about generosity. If you want to know how to grow with God, take what little you know about God and put it into practice. When you put those things into practice, God will give you the mind for what those things look like. In other words, single people. Here's what the world says. There's no way you can be a virgin outside of marriage. Here's what the world says to singles. You've already had sex outside of marriage. Why stop now? Here's what the world says. That's so backwards and so naive. Nobody could expect you to be able to control your passions. Here's what the Bible says. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of what? Self-discipline. According to God, you can live holy and pure as a single. You can totally do that. But it's not about you knowing that. Well, I know I could. I know I could. It's probably the right thing to do. That won't help you when you're put in a situation. What helps you is this. I'm making a choice to honor God to do this so I never put myself in that situation. And then, God, I want you to show me how to fulfill that. That person will live pure. Guys, we've talked about this all. I just feel like I have the need to share it because I hear these stories all the time. Porn. Yeah, I'm married, but you know, I'm into porn and all that stuff. That's just how I am. You know, I've read how that's damaging. I've read how that's this. I've read how that's, I'm working hard at it. I'm trying. That's not how you fix porn. Here's how you fix porn. You make a moral choice to never touch it again. Well, how do I do that? Put your computer in the middle of the house. Tell your wife that you struggle with it. Tell her you want to be done with it. Tell 5 other guys, I don't ever want to deal with this ever again. I'm doing whatever it takes so this is out of my life. You start living that way, it'll change your mindset about everything else. You want to be generous with your finances? Here's how most people think about how to be generous with their finances. When I make a little more money, I'll have a little more to give and I'll be generous. You'll never be generous. You'll be less generous the more money you make. You know how to be generous? Take what you have now, decide what generosity looks like according to God, and say, I'm going to lavish this towards the Lord in a way that's so ridiculously generous, and this is all I have now, and I'm going to begin to think about how God could come through. Do that, and you'll become generous. It always starts with your actions. It always starts with obedience, not knowledge. And can I just tell you this? In America, in the culture in which we live in, we want to work backwards. Hey, just tell me what I need to know, Pastor. I'm going to study this. I'm going to do a 5-year study on generosity. I'm going to know every chapter and verse on what it looks like to be generous. And then maybe someday, it'll never work. I've been in 8 years of grad school with people that study the Bible, many of whom don't live any of it out. Your education doesn't change your heart. Your obedience does. If you're 10 years old and you hear what I'm saying and you're making a choice to honor God, He will give you more and more revelation as to what that looks like. And that's the power of God. God wants you to experience His freedom. You experience His freedom by putting into practice the very little thing God tells you to do. And can I just tell you, I never, ever, ever, never get tired of hearing people's stories about how they took a baby step of faith of obedience with God. Never. Because they tell me the story. It goes something like this. Hey, God was just convicting me that I needed to break up with this guy or I needed to break up with this girl, and it was killing me because I'm older now and I didn't know if I was ever going to get married, but I knew it was what God wanted me to do. So I knew I wasn't living the way He wanted. So I just trusted Him and I did what He said, and it was so hard, and here's what I did, and guess what God did? I'm like, He showed up, didn't He? Yeah, totally, and I'm totally filled, and He brought me this, and He did. Yeah, that's what He does. We only had so much money, and we felt like God wanted us to be generous, but we didn't know what to do. But we were like, God, we trust You, and so here You go, and we don't know if You're going to show up. And you know what He did? Like 2 weeks later, I got a brand new job. I made twice as much money as what I was doing before. That's not prosperity gospel. That's not, hey, give to God and He'll give you more. It's this. Obedience to God always brings further revelation and greater freedom in Christ. If you'll take the baby step you know you need to take, God will show up. Here's the problem. You want to know? We want to take what other people's baby steps are. God, why do I have to do this? Why can't I do what You want them to do? That's easy. Because this is what He's calling you to do. I remember being called into ministry. I'm like, I'll take any step but that step. I started listening to all my friends who were better speakers than me. I'm like, call them, take them. Let me go make money. I'll even support them. Now I want you. This is a step for you. Will you do what I want you to do? See, God doesn't debate with you. You want freedom? Seek the Lord and do what He says. You'll experience it, I promise you. God will show up. Now the whole time that you begin to be obedient, because you can get fired up about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's do this. I used the example last week of Israel, waiting 400 years to get out of bondage. Finally, they get to go that night. Let's do this. Let's pack it up. Let's take all of their money with us. Let's go. Hey, God opened up the Red Sea. God parted it. God closed it on them. Awesome. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? God always shows up. God's awesome. 3 days later, what are they saying? Man, Egypt's so much better than out here in the wilderness. They had leeks and garlic and good food. I mean, we had it. We had the good life back there. Really, you were slaves for 400 years. You were beaten and mistreated for 400 years. You want to go back. That's exactly what happens when you begin to walk obediently with Christ. You get fired up about what God wants you to do. You know what he wants you to do, but then you start walking it out and you're like, wait a second, it feels pretty lonely doing this. Wait a second, it doesn't feel comfortable doing this. Israel was 10 days away from the promised land, but because of their disobedience and because of their lack, they waited 40 years. Some of you are just a week away from being set totally free from the thing that's kept you in bondage for years and years. But when you start walking that out, it's why you need other people in your life to encourage you. Keep walking it out. Keep doing it. It's okay. Nobody's going to champion what you're doing, but God sees you walking alone, doing what you're doing, and you can experience freedom with him. Because if you focus on the flesh, it's going to lead to death, and it's hostile towards God. But if you focus on the Spirit, there's life, and there's peace. Did you know that when you do things God's way, there's always life and peace, which brings joy? I mean, the Bible makes it pretty clear. If you ever want to know, and we won't spend a whole lot of time reading through this morning, you can do it on your own in Galatians chapter 5. You're like, well, how do I know if I'm living by the flesh, and how do I know if I'm living by the Spirit? In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, Paul shows us, he says, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't walk in the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he begins to talk about the works of the flesh. I think he lists 15 of them. Works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and those things like these. I warn you as I warned you before. He's not making an exhaustive list. He starts listing like 15 things, and he's like, yeah, and things like that. I mean, they're obvious. You know how you're living for yourself. But then he goes on to talk about the Spirit. He goes, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against things, there's no such law. You pursue the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that has those nine sections, you pursue that, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. You pursue the flesh, you will not honor God. Yeah, but they need to say that they're sorry for the way that they treated me. That's your flesh. They don't need to say anything to you. Because if you have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and long-suffering, it doesn't matter what they do. Your freedom is not dependent upon anybody else. If you're saying, I can't be free because of my mom or my dad or my sister or my coach or the people at church or the people at work, that's your problem, not a problem with the Spirit of God. That's you saying, my flesh is craving something from somebody else that it's not getting. That's why I can't live free. And God would say, you have everything you need for life and godliness through him who loves you. You have it all. You can live free. See, it's kind of like this. You want to live a pure life? Focus on purity and start living moral purity. You want to have a generous life? Start thinking about how what it looks like to be generous and then do it. You want to have a loving life? Start loving other people. You want to have a forgiving life? Just start forgiving people. Just ask this. This is a great prayer. God, bring people in my life I can forgive. He'll do it. I promise you. Right? God wants you to do that. But notice this. God not only wants you to be free, God wants you to have victory. And God provided the plan for victory by sending his Holy Spirit. Notice what it says in the following verses. I think this is the clearest teaching on when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It says this, you, however, those of us who are born again, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Let's just talk about the Holy Spirit for a minute. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Here's what the Bible says. When you're converted, the Holy Spirit comes immediately to indwell you. The Bible says if the Holy Spirit is not in you, then you're not of Christ. How do I know if I'm of Christ? Because the Holy Spirit's in me. How do I know the Holy Spirit's in me? Because I've been born again and I believe that Jesus died and rose for me. That's when the Holy Spirit comes in. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we've been baptized into the family of God. That's when that happens. Here's the question. You get all of the Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion. Here's the question. Does the Holy Spirit have all of you?
Thanks for joining us today on Brave. That was Pastor Jeff and his message, Experiencing Freedom and Victory, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, challenging you to live free and victorious in your Christian walk. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.